Next time you say, I'm full of hot air. That's a special technique that Chiz developed, and I know others have copied since then, how to keep breathing while not breathing, you know, by not looking like it. Today we're going to be dealing a little bit in the book of Judges. And I chose this because of two themes. One, it talks about unity. And two, it talks about trumpets. As we come to Judges in chapter 6 and 7 in particular, we find that as we come to those chapters that for years, God's people, Israel, had been under the oppression and the attacks of their enemy, the Midianites. Their morale was low, their resources were low, and to protect themselves, God's people, Israel, were forced to shelter themselves in mountain cliffs and caves. The Midianites regularly attacked them, taking their crops, taking their livestock, and destroying any they didn't want. And they cried out to God and asked for help. And then one day, God called upon one of their own to become their leader and to unite them to move against the Midianites. The one they got called was named Gideon. At first, Gideon seriously questioned the call to move against the Midianites. The number of his army was so small, and so small compared to the vast army of the Midianites. And the Lord God responded to that concern in Judges 6:16 with these words, I will be with you, and you will strike down all of the Midianites, leaving none alive. And Judges 6:33 adds, it even grew. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Gideon called all of those who could help him to join him in this conquest against the Midianites. And 32,000 warriors came to fight the Midianites with Gideon. Sounds like a large number, doesn't it? However, the Midianites had 135,000, a 4-to-1 ratio in favor of the enemy. And Gideon led his army to camp in an area just north of the Midianite camp. And Judges 7:12 adds this interesting part that Gideon sneaked a peek at the number of those who had gathered that they were to battle against. He stated this in verse 12. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley as thick as locusts, and their camels were without number, countless as the sand on the seashore. He was overwhelmed. But then God comes to Gideon in Judges 7:2-3, and listen to this. He says to Gideon about his 32,000 against 135,000, Gideon, you have too many to go to war. If you win with this number, he tells him, then you will all claim that you did it by your own strength. So announce to the army that if anyone's scared to go into this battle, it's okay to go home. And 22,000 left, leaving only 10,000. 32,000 minus 22,000 equals 10,000, which is now, instead of a 4-to-1, a 13-to-1 ratio. Now, comparison, again, is in favor of the enemy. And then in Judges 7:4-8, God says again, you still have too many. So take the 10,000 to the river and have them take a drink. And I want you to note, those that go down and kneel to take a drink from the water, and those who cup the water in their hands to drink. And 9,700 of them knelt and drank, and 300 cupped the water in their hands to drink. And God told Gideon, send away the 9,700 who knelt to drink. Okay, 10,000 minus 9,700 equals 300. Which is now 145-to-1 ratio. 300 against 135,000 in favor of the enemy. Yet God told Gideon, with those 300, I will deliver you. With God, numbers don't matter. Please repeat that with me. With God, numbers don't matter. The 300 soldiers were divided into three companies of 100 each. And listen to the powerful weapons that they were to carry into this massive battle. It's in Judges 7:16 to 18. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into each man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and you say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Okay. Not to offend you, Chiz, but their weapons were just trumpets and torches hidden in clay jars and their yelling voices. 300 troops with trumpets and torches and yelling voices against 135,000 enemy troops with a vast variety of the weaponry of that day. Such weaponry as such as hand-to-hand combat weapons like swords and daggers and spears, longer-range weapons like javelins and bows and arrows and slings for hurling stones like David and Goliath. After this, they had full body armor, shields, as well as chariots and horses and camels for attacking. 135,000 war-seasoned enemy troops equipped with the best weaponry of the day against 300 carrying trumpets, torches, and yelling voices. With God, stuff doesn't matter. Repeat that after me, please. With God, stuff doesn't matter. Your equipment doesn't matter. Or your enemy's equipment doesn't matter with God. As a young David said to the mighty warrior Goliath in 1 Samuel 7, 45 to 47, but David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army, this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord God does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. So Gideon divided the forces into three equal groups of 100. Each soldier was given this ram's horn, a trumpet, a large empty clay vessel, and a torch. They were taken up to take up positions around the Midianite camp. And at the word of Gideon, as one united team, they were to break the pitchers so that the torches would break into bright flame. They were to blow their trumpets in one united blasting battle cry. And then they were to lift their voices in one united cry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now when darkness had fallen, it says it was the beginning of the middle watch, probably about 10 o'clock in the evening, when most of the enemy troops were in a deep sleep. Gideon and his troops remembered his 300 troops, split into those three groups of 100, and spread out surrounding the sleeping enemy camp. It's kind of a little picture that shows you about that. It says, so the three companies blew the trumpets. And broke the jars, holding their left hands the torches, the right hands the trumpets to blow, and they cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Every man stood in his place all around the camp. And what was the effect? It says in verses 21 to 23, all the men in the camp ran, and they cried, and they fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Besheta toward Zariah, as far as the borders of Amaloniah and Tabatha. And the men of Israel were called out from were called out from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh, and they pursued after the Midianites. In other words, the enemy was suddenly awakened and found themselves surrounded by united blaring trumpets, surrounded by united bright burning torches, surrounded by united voices crying out, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon, and being surrounded by the united blasting trumpets and the united bright burning torches and the united screaming voices. They didn't know where they were or what was going on. And they woke up abruptly with all that light and noise that was disorienting. And they didn't know where in the camp their enemies might be. So they grabbed the nearest weapon. They start stabbing and stabbing and stabbing each other. It didn't take long before the whole camp was caught up in the frenzy. And retreat sounded like the best way out. So those that remained fled toward the homes in the east. And Gideon's troops pursued them and destroyed them all. Remember the words of the Lord? I will be with you, and you will strike down all of the Midianites, leaving none alive. This victory of Gideon and his people came about because first they placed their faith in God alone, no matter their numbers, no matter their stuff. Secondly, they followed God's word. They believed it. They followed it. Thirdly, they followed God's leading. What he said to do, they did. And fourth, they stood and they moved, united. Not one of them wavered. Today we complete a 10-part sermon series on unity. As a preaching team, with the toxic environment in our world and our country, and sadly in our churches, we felt led to challenge, to call all Christ ones to focus on what unifies us in Christ rather than the inferior worldly things that can divide us. As a preaching team, we have preached our hearts out. As Paul called in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I appeal to you. It can also mean I beg you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same purpose. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are the family of God. We are the bride of Jesus. We are God's light, God's witnesses, God's salt in a divided, dying, and decaying world. And God has called us to be one united church and to go into the world to make disciples of Jesus. There is a spiritual warfare out there and in here. It's spoken of in Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Behind the divisiveness in this country, in this world, is an evil force. God has an enemy. And as God's church, we have the same enemy. In the spiritual warfare, we must stand united with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our petty differences, our preferences don't count for a hill of beans compared to the spiritual battles around us and the people around us that are going Christless. It is said we Christians are far too often like people arguing over wallpaper in the parlor while the Titanic we're standing in is sinking. We cannot wage war against the enemy on our own wisdom and strength. Gideon's battle victory teaches us that victory in spiritual warfare doesn't go to the smartest or the strongest or most clever church. As Zechariah 4, 6 says, tell us that the victory comes not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Victory goes to the church whose members place our faith in God alone, those who follow God's word, those who follow God's leading, and those who stand and move united. If we, like Gideon and his people, place our faith in God alone, no matter our numbers, no matter our stuff, if we follow God's word, if we follow God's leading, if we stand and move united, then God's presence and God's power and God's blessing will be with us. And when God's church stands united above and beyond all things, God's statement in Matthew 16 will come true. I will build my church. Please read the end of it with me. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Please read that again. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's up to you. It's up to me. We have so many benefits, so many blessings, so many things here as this church. It's whether we unite together to go forward as Christ's church. That is the power of unity if we choose to be united as a community. Let us pray. Father God, as Jesus was nearing his death, he prayed for us to be united. It was important to him. It was a serious concern for him, and should be, because in this world, and even in churches, there is disunity. Not here, Lord. Help us say, not here. Here, Lord, we will unite. We will stand, whether it's with trumpet and torches and voices, whether it's in worship and music and serving, whatever, Lord, you call us to. We thank you for all that you've given us and empowered us with, and we unite ourselves. We vow to unite ourselves, to take our stand, and, Lord, to do whatever it is to honor you. Lord, we are your body. We place our faith in you alone. We follow your word. We follow your leading, and we will stand and move united to the glory of God Almighty, as all God's people say, amen. I'm going to invite you to a communion table now. God gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, lovingly and willingly came to that cross and gave his life on that cross so we could all be cleansed and forgiven and come into one new united family. As you partake of these elements, please remember what it cost our Lord God to provide this unity with us. I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward and Pastor Eddie to come forward as we prepare to receive this communion. As you partake of it, remember the cost, the great price that has been paid so that we will live, love, and move as one united church and body of Jesus Christ. And when we do, God will do marvelous things through his church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these elements, this bread and this juice. And Lord, we just ask you to help us remember the cost, the broken body, the shed blood, so that we could be forgiven and cleansed, born anew into a new family, a new church, a new purpose, a new unity in you. You are what unites us. We celebrate that. We remember that this day through these elements of the broken body and the spilled blood. Help us as we partake of these, Lord, to truly take to heart and to pray that, Lord, you will help us be a part of the uniting team that will live and serve you and honor you so you can bless your church and reach people in your name. We pray this in Jesus' name, as all God's people say. Amen.